Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace be unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us. So he begotten us, we're his, again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. That's what we're looking forward to. That's heaven. That fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Christian, God is a keeper of Israel, and he's a keeper of you. And I'm thankful for that. He keeps you by his power. And if you'll trust him on a daily basis and meditate on his power, he'll keep you in the path of peace. I love what Isaiah 26 says. It says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust in the Lord Jehovah," the Bible says. He's our keeper. Verse 3 of Psalm 121 says, "He'll not suffer," it says there, "he'll not suffer thy foot to be moved." You know, when you're in battle, one thing you don't want is unsure footing. You don't want to be forced backwards. You want to be able to make your stand. You know, we're in a battle, folks. We're in a spiritual battle on a daily basis. Against temptation? Yeah. Against discouragement? Yeah. Against apathy? Yeah. Against bitterness? Sure. Against impatience? Absolutely. And you can name a lot of other things that our flesh struggles with, that the world provides and the devil puts in your path. We are on a spiritual battle on a daily basis. And our keeper wants to keep our foot from slipping. He wants to help us move forward. Now, God commands us in Ephesians chapter 6 about the spiritual armor. He talks about it and he says, put on the armor of God. And at the very end of that passage, it says, having done all to stand, or halfway through, having done all to stand, stand therefore. God wants us to prepare ourselves spiritually with his word and with character traits of God. And he says to stand. You know what essentially what's taking place here? The Bible says God will help you to stand, and then he commands you to stand. He wants you to do it, and he's going to help you do it. He wants you to obey, and he's going to help you obey. I think of what it says in the book of Philippians. It says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." He says, keep doing it, and God's going to help you do it. He's going to keep your foot from slipping, but you need to put on the right shoes. You need to get prepared for battle. A vigilant help. And verse 3 of Psalm 121 says, he will never sleep, will not slumber. Verse 4, "Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither sleep nor slumber." He's a guard of us. You know, the strongest man on earth, the best warrior, the best guard, he has to sleep. People have to sleep. We get tired, don't we? Yeah. I was tired this morning. I did not want to get out of bed. When we asleep, we are very vulnerable. Anybody can do anything they want to. The strongest man in the world, the best fighter, when he's asleep, he's vulnerable. But guess what? Our guard never sleeps. He never sleeps so that you can sleep, friends. You know, I think of what Jesus did. You remember when Jesus was on the earth? He knew the Father's plan for him. He trusted the Father. So you know what he did in the middle of a storm? He went down in a boat and he fell asleep. You know, that's a great demonstration. He trusted. Do you think Jesus knew that that storm was going to come? Yeah, he did. Did it keep him from sleeping? No. He was tired. He slept. You know what? Ezekiel puts it this way. I like this passage in Ezekiel. "I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land, that they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods." The word wilderness has the word wild in it. Okay? Evil beasts, lions, tigers, and bears. Oh my, thank you. Okay, somebody was with me. But you know what God says? I'm watching over them. He's our vigilant help. He's our powerful help. Verse 5, He's our present help. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The text here says He's thy keeper, the guard of Israel and our guard. But notice what He protects you from. The shade from the sun. Shade on thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee. You know, there's many nice things about Florida. I'm still finding out what they are. I'm really not sure. No, I'm just kidding. There are nice things about Florida, but our heat is not one of them, which is why snowbirds head back when it gets hot, right? You say, it's too hot here. Okay. Severe heat makes tasks harder. It will cook you. And our God is a shelter regardless of what we need, even our basic needs. A provision. I wrote this down. God's greatest provision is often seen in our most basic needs. His greatest provision is often seen in our most basic needs. Listen to what 1 Timothy says. Says, having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. And I think it's significant the Bible says that He's a shade upon thy right hand. You know, as a parent, I can relate to this. Cradling one of my kids on a hot day or a cold night or pulling them close or seeing the burning sun on them and I become their shade. You know what that requires? In order for something to shade you, it requires proximity. Our helper is near. The psalmist says this, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalm 139, he says, Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thy hand upon me. And so, Christian, God is a present help. Regardless of what we go through, He's not the presence of difficulty. It's not indicative of the absence of God. He's a present help. And He's a preserving help. Verse 7, it says, The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Now, this does not mean that we won't encounter evil. In fact, the author writes that God is his help. How could God be his help if he didn't need help? That means he needed help. The only way that he can truly be a help is if we need it. We see these things. We will face struggles and face evil, but God's desire is to see us through by his power, to preserve us from the snare of evil, that we would encounter it, but not be ensnared by it or infected by it. Jesus prays in John 17. He says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. He preserves us. Now, friend, I'll say this too. It's our choice and our commandment from God to resist temptation, not to give place to the devil. So just like when it said about the foot, you know, God says, I want you to stand and I'm going to help you stand. He's going to preserve us, but he commands us to abstain, not to give place. Listen to this text here. It says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. Do you realize when we allow bitterness and unforgiveness in our heart, that we create an environment that's comfortable for the devil? When it says give place to the devil, we're giving him a place, a foothold in our life. When we forgive and we put away the ungodly speech that we'd like to unleash or put away the bitterness, you know who we're giving place to? The Lord. That's right. So it's our choice and commandment to resist temptation. And God says he'll preserve us. His desire is to preserve us from evil, to keep us from evil. And he's working to that end. The author of Thessalonians says this, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible also says, you be ye holy for I am holy. So God's working to preserve us, but you know what? He calls you to abstain from evil at the same time. Work with him. He's a preserving help. And then finally, he's an eternal help. Verse 8. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. God will take you through the current trial that you're facing. Maybe you're somebody who really, you know, I was talking to one of you guys tonight, and you said, I think this is all overblown. I'm not really concerned about it. Okay, maybe this is not a trial for you. But something else will be. Congratulations, you know. Something else will be. It's the world we live in. But you know what? God's going to see you through. And he's not like some folks, not like some help that's only there for a little while. You know, if you've ever done a difficult task and you ask somebody to come help you, the help usually sticks around until right before you need them. And then they run away. And then you go, you didn't need them. And they were standing there. And then all of a sudden you need them and you turn around and they're not there. Brother Dallas is shaking his head. Yeah, I've worked with children. I know that's the way kids work. And they're like, Daddy, let me come help you. And they come help you. And you say, I want to encourage them. So they're there and they're holding a light and they're shining it in your eyes and shining it on the feet. And then when you finally need it, you turn around and, here, give me that. And where are they at? God's not like that. It says here that he is a help who is eternal. He delivers his people. He will bring you through the trial, or he'll bring you out of this world. Listen to these words from Daniel. Now, you might think, Pastor, that's kind of morbid. You shouldn't chuckle about that. But I find humorous things in the Word of God all the time. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. We really didn't have to think about it very long. If it be so, he said, I'm going to throw you in the fiery furnace and see which God it is that's going to preserve you. And they say, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. And he will deliver thee out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. I believe what they're saying is, he can deliver us out of your hand, or he can deliver us out of that furnace, or he might just take us home. And sometimes that's the deliverance from the trial. Sometimes the Lord takes care of the trial. Sometimes the Lord says, all right, I'm going to take you home. And that never ends. However this current trial ends, we know what our destination is. Our destination does not change. Isn't that right, friends? It does not change. We have a home in heaven, like Brother Gordon said. I already have my ticket. Did he ask you where to buy a ticket? Amen. Did he ask you where to buy one?
No,
he ran away. You know, the relationship we have with our protector is never ending. And folks, God wants to protect us. He wants to preserve us. We need to work with the Lord, use our sanctified common sense. And we have faith in God. I'm looking at a group of folks, and I know that you folks have faith in God, and he's seeing you through. And you know what? That's what our society needs right now. The people that you come into contact with, your friends, your neighbors, you know, the people that maybe when you get gas and you see somebody there and they seem to be a little bit upset, you can, you know, shout to them, trust in God from 6 feet away. That's what the social space is, or something like that. Look for ways to encourage, to be the light. Ye are the light of the world. And that doesn't change during the times like this. I think it just becomes more intensified. And so be in prayer. Be in prayer for your community. Be in prayer for our church. Prepare. But ultimately, where's our faith? It's in the Lord. It's in the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer tonight as we close. Lord, we thank you for your word. I thank you that you are our help. And dear Lord, there's many aspects of the relationship with you. I pray, God, that you would just encourage each one here. Help us as we seek to draw closer to you over these next few weeks. And as this, I pray, Lord, you'd bring this to a quick end, that it would just fizzle out. Help me be able to find something to vaccinate against it. I can't even begin to understand it. I'm not a doctor, but you do. We fall upon your understanding. We trust you. Be with our folks tonight, Lord. I pray that you would just minister to their hearts. In your name I pray. Amen. Would you stand to your feet, heads bowed and eyes closed, as the piano plays? Just talk to the Lord.